Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock, have your host, James J. Maloff here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
We got a bunch of things lined up for you today. We are going to get into the most popular cuisine in the world.
Ooh.
Got that coming up. Something the California banned that I'm not sure of, and it might be an early that ain't right story.
Okay.
The most stressful cities in the to work in. Mm-hmm. Got that coming up. We're also going to get into an article that Pam sent us over about silly, weirdest laws in the U.S.
Oh, fun.
We're going to get into that one a little bit later. We got plenty more coming up for you in just a little bit. We'll get into our National Day of Calendar, 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, and 9 o'clock hour, Entertainment News, Good Stories of the Day, That Ain't Right Stories, plenty more coming up for you throughout the show. Melissa, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, pretty good.
How was the drive in from Abbotsford?
Dark.
Yeah, yeah, that would add up.
But other than that, it wasn't too bad. There were a couple slick areas because we, you know, obviously had wet roads yesterday. So some of those areas are still a little slick this morning. So be careful on intersections.
Do take your time out there, everybody. And I might want to call ahead about certain things. Not a bad idea just to see how things are running for others as well. And if you need to cancel plans, I don't know, is 7 in the morning early enough?
To cancel?
To cancel. If you got to cancel plans, yeah.
I think it depends on what time your plans are for.
I feel like 7 in the morning is a pretty good time. It's also a really weird way to wake somebody, like, good morning, somebody. Good morning. I'm not going to be able to make it today.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been there. We've all probably been there in the past few weeks. You have plans with someone that's that night, and it hits you. You'd really rather just stay in, or something else comes up, or something like that. So what's the latest time in the day that you can cancel without guaranteeing you'll ruin the other person's night?
Hmm.
It's an interesting question that we bring up in our first topic today.
Okay.
According to New York Magazine, the absolute latest you can cancel plans for the night is 2 p.m.
Wow. Quote, 2 p.m.
Quote, at 2 p.m., there's still ample time for your friend to text around and find another dinner companion. By 3 o'clock, they almost certainly will be alone for the night. There's one big exception, though. If the other person is cooking for you, in that case, you have to cancel 24 hours beforehand.
Yeah, that's probably wise.
I'm not good at canceling plans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the kind of person I will end up trying to work both things in at once. Every like TV show has done this episode. Like I should say, used to. They don't really have sitcoms like they used to or anything anymore.
Not really.
But it was always the kid has I asked a girl out, and then another girl asked me out or something like that, and they've got the double date, and the kid tries to pull it off, and it never works, mm-hmm. and then he ends up owning everything to the girls and blah 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 and all that. I'm that guy without the women. I've never done that with a woman. I would never do that, but. I have definitely done it with plans where I try to just do everything. And mm-hmm. this article kind of made me start thinking about it even a little bit more in depth, and how even as hard as it is to cancel, it's probably better to do that than to try to cram everything into, you know, one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if it's weather-related reasons for canceling, we're talking today, that you would think that people would be a whole lot more understanding of that because they're probably in the same weather as you.
How big do you think Wisconsin's population is?
Oh, I know this.
Oh, well.
I don't know this.
I don't even have a roundabout answer. it's better than I got.
If I had to guess, I'd say 5 million plus.
So I guarantee at least a couple thousand of those people live in this state just because they can cancel plans anytime. The weather is right there for you. If you are a person that just likes to do things every once in a while and maybe not too often, Wisconsin's so perfect for you. Ah, the weather yesterday. Couldn't do it. Yeah.
5.89 million. Yes. Sorry, I just have to gloat for a moment.
Go for it. Yeah, yeah.
Gloating.
Wait, actually, hang on. There we go. Now it's official. Thank you. Nicely done. I wouldn't even have that. We've got close.
That was for 2022, so.
Can still
hopefully
count.
It's more now.
Yeah. I don't know. I that's a hard one to say right now with, mm-hmm. with certain things, the way that the state is and stuff. For a lot of people, if you have things that you are liking about this state, state as far as certain things, mm-hmm. you may be moving to Florida or Texas because there's a lot of people that are doing that right now that are migrating to those places because of the tax situation and that kind of thing. There's also the difference in, you know, state of pay, right, a lot of those kind of things. But either way, in Florida, you don't have the excuse of weather. You don't have have a lot of those
different
things.
Weather.
Different weather.
But yes.
You also can't have anything. You can't build unless you're building up. Like that's it. They've run out of land, and the land is falling into the ocean. So they have to build up in Florida now.
It's a little wet down there.
But you can retire there. They got Boca Raton. They got Boca.
That's true.
Which I would retire to Boca Raton just to say, where do you live, Boca Raton?
It's just fun to
it's
say.
Just, it's just a fun word to say. I could also retire in Sheboygan. That'd be just as fun. That'd be just as much fun.
And you wouldn't have to worry about the difference of weather.
Right. When it comes to the canceling of plans and all that, I think it comes down to more times than not. Because there is those days where, oh, it's just been a long day.
Yeah.
I think that most people can relate to that, understand that, especially if you are honest about that. Mm-hmm. Just like, look, it was a long day. Nothing personal. I'm really looking forward to hanging out, but it ain't going to work today. I wouldn't have the energy today. I wouldn't be as much fun today, mm-hmm. whatever the case might be. What I see a bigger problem with is that I'm one of thousands of people that try to cram too much into one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of this stems from the workload that you and I talk about from time to time that we give ourselves or that our employers give us or whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a case by case thing.
Right.
And trying to work that balance out again.
Yeah.
And there's people that I know that I've thought for years, like, man, they got a great work-life balance and everything. And I'm talking to them now about it to try to get notes and, you know, figure out how they're doing these things. And they have no clue. They're not, they don't think they have this, at least the people that I've talked to. I'm not saying everybody.
Yeah.
The people I've talked to, I think it's one of those subjects that we're better off talking about more mm-hmm. openly.
Well, yeah, because appearances are different than reality.
And the more we can talk, maybe we can figure this out together. Maybe we can figure out how a better life balance with work and all that, where you mm-hmm. don't have to give up the work ethic that you've had your whole life, for me, since I was a kid, and at the same time, have a life
yeah.
outside of work.
Exactly. Well, for me personally, I think that if I have plans with someone in the evening, I feel that if I cancel before 10 a.m. in the morning, that's... That to me is polite.
Agreed.
That is okay. Like if I'm looking at my day and I'm like, there is just no way. There's no way I can get this all done and be a cognizant companion yeah. for dinner at yeah. 6 o'clock tonight. There's just no way. I feel that that is an appropriate amount of time.
Noon for me, but that depends on when I find the information out. Like
right.
usually for me, I'll get an email in the morning, you got to teach tonight or something like that. And that's when it comes up for me. And I know before then, so I like to let people know right away
consideration.
Desire to do that. Yeah. I don't know. I want to say consideration, but I don't want to give myself any credit for that. I hope so. I hope it's that. But
it also depends on who your plans are with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's somebody that's going to be completely understanding, then canceling several hours before the gathering or giving them a heads up earlier in the day. Like, I don't know how today's going to go. This could all go sideways.
Yeah.
So just giving you the heads up, it might cancel. But I'll let you know by 3 o'clock.
We're going to take a break right here. We're going to come back with our National Day of Calendar. But I have to, I got to be honest with everybody this morning. I might not be at my full capacity. I might not be a full James today.
Oh?
Forgot my coffee.
Oh, man.
I've slipped out in the ice this morning because I was in a rush. And in doing that, I dropped my coffee.
Dang.
And I must have just left it in the snowbank because I was in such a run. And I just now realize as I reach for my coffee and it's not there.
Well, that look of disappointment on your face was rather poignant.
That hurt. I felt that deep. Yeah. It like hit my soul.
I felt it all the way over here, and I'm like 5 feet from you.
All right. Just so everybody's warned, though. Now you all know it's going to be one of those shows.
Somebody please bring James coffee.
We will take a break. We'll come back, and we'll have fun, everybody. We're going to have fun.
That or I'm dumping my water on him. One of the two.
We'll find out what happened during the commercial break when we come back here on The Morning Show. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR for this 28th of February, 2023. Happy last day of February, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Good riddance. No, I'm joking. I'm kidding. It's time for us to dive into the calendar. Melissa and James here with you. And it is Rare Disease Day. If you know a rare disease, no. Rare disease isn't any chance to observe, to bring attention to any diseases, let alone rare ones, is certainly not a bad idea. EROIDS, the European Organization for Rare Diseases, says the treatment for many rare diseases is insufficient, and some people's quality of life is greatly hindered by inadequacy, simply because people have never heard of the disease or do not understand the disease and the patient's needs. I think one of the only decent things, and I think of this just because the Oscars are right around the corner, Chris Rock's live special is coming up this weekend and everything, where he's going to talk about the Oscars and all that. I thought one of the only decent things to come out of that situation was people knowing what alopecia was.
Yeah.
And understanding that a little bit more. I think of opportunities like that all the time, where we have these chances to learn as people. And if you open your brain up a little bit, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to filter out the noise. The slap to me was the noise. And the heart of the situation was a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever was going on between those two guys, all that stuff and everything. But there was an opportunity for, hey, what's alopecia? What is mm-hmm. that? Why does that affect African-American women more? With that kind of thing. It makes us a better, more empathetic world. But it also shows that we're not just the type of people that, a disease affected me and my family, now I care about it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
It seems to happen like that. And I'm not even begrudging people that. It just seems to happen that
way. No, and that is the case. But it's a good opportunity because celebrities have a platform. They have the ability to bring attention to situations and things. The fact that they can do this is a good thing.
I think that when it comes to this, too, the other thing I think of, and I first started hearing about this and reading about it about a year or two before the pandemic, but these virus hunters, these people that go around the world and go into these, the Amazon and looking in parts of the Amazon we haven't been and everything for a seed or a plant leaf or something that they can grind up and turn into a cure or something like that. Like, these people are the amazing work that they are doing.
Right.
So much of the work that they're doing is trying to counter stuff that might not even happen, but they got to make sure just in case, because we didn't think, we'll never see another pandemic, and then that happened, and we thought we were prepared enough for that, and we learned that we were not.
Right.
These kind of people out there doing that work, the other thing I think of the other end of this, that diseases, viruses, it's good to learn about these things. Not a bad idea to learn about these people out there hunting these things down, too.
Well, because that's an important job field that isn't getting enough new people.
Yes.
Taking it up and getting into it. And guess what? Disease is kind of here for now.
Yeah.
We got to deal with it. We got to figure out how to beat it.
Well, until we can learn to get along with each other better and not fight over silly things, the diseases are going to continue to win. The disease, as long as ego or greed or political strife or any of these things keep getting in the way of us being human beings to each other and everything,
or choosing to stick our head in the sand,
choosing to believe that the doctors don't know what they're doing or any of these kind of things, these diseases are going to keep kicking our butt. They're just going to keep winning. And guess what? They don't care who you vote for or what political how high of a bank account you have or any of these things.
Nope.
National Floral Design Day. In other words, this is also on a long list of things I'm god awful at. There's things you're bad at, and then there's things that you make angels cry. You should not be touching.
We did it so perfect in nature. How could you mess it up, James?
I don't know. I really don't. I have no answer.
My grandma was a floral designer for a lot of years, and she was wonderful at it. And she also then once she stopped working at a greenhouse, she did wreaths. Like the dried flower wreaths.
Cool.
Yeah, and she did it. She used all sorts of different things, not just flowers, but nuts, pine cones. I mean, any kind of natural sticks, whatever she could find, and just turned them into these beautiful wreaths.
I think that the people like One Rose, Angel Floral, all the great places we have around here, they do. So, every time I've grabbed a flower from there or something like that, and they put a bouquet together, even if it's just something simple, like I feel like I'm watching Da Vinci work or something. I'm only exaggerating a little bit. It's just it's really cool the way they do this, the color combinations, the different things that they think of.
The different heights and the perceptions.
I can't even match my clothes. I can't, let alone, I don't know how they do. They're really good at that. It all started with the idea to create a special way of celebrating the birthday of Carl Rittner, founder of the Rittner School of Floral Design in Boston. And yes, the date is official. The governor of Massachusetts, William F. Weld, proclaimed it in 1995. History lesson aside, today is an excuse to go wild about flowers and let your inner creative spark.
Awesome.
That's a fun one. I like that.
And the inner creative, you know, something that you haven't tried before. Maybe that's not in your wheelhouse, James. Mm-hmm. But other, you know, it's fun to try, especially if you just get a bunch of wildflowers and try to put them together. I used to do that for my mom all the time, or my grandma.
I'll say this, when I have done things like that and everything, and I've given to a girl or something, I've never had anybody say anything bad about it. You know?
How dare you gave me this ugly conglomeration of beautiful flowers.
Most people like flowers, you know, even if it's not necessarily the most good.
Not necessarily perfect. It doesn't have to be.
Global Scouse Day. And if you're wondering what the term scouse means, like I am, I think Mel might be.
Scouse or scoose?
Scoose. Maybe it's scoose.
I don't know. I've never heard of this.
The one thing that you can probably tell from it is that it's mostly definitely British. Yeah. Global Scouse or Scoose Day was a unique tradition all of its own and only takes place in a specific place in Britain. If you don't know where that is, you'll find out in just a second here. It's in Liverpool. It's a term used in the city of Liverpool in the United Kingdom to describe its people, food, and culture. Scouse, traditionally a meat stew made of leftover vegetables and meats such as carrots, potatoes, turnips, and lamb. The idea of the dish helped found this holiday when Graham Hughes, a British filmmaker and television presenter, would hold a Scouse supper each year with his friends in Liverpool on his birthday.
Oh, interesting. So it's like stew.
Every culture has their own stew or gumbo or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't know, something like very unifying to me about that.
Mm-hmm.
National Chocolate Soufflé Day.
Yum.
Yeah.
Chocolate soufflé.
I've only had it once, and I can still remember how great it was. That's some good stuff. Though cheese soufflés may be the better known variety, people who have a sweet tooth are perhaps more likely to prefer a chocolate soufflé. And that, with that in mind, it's time to celebrate and enjoy this day. What is the history of this, though? That's what I want to see. A soufflé is a type of cake made from a custard base and egg whites beaten to a soft peak. It can then be flavored as desired. No one knows this dish's exact history, since it was probably been around as long as eggs, flour, and milk. However, the original idea and recipe for soufflé is believed to have originated in a recipe called La Cuisinière Moderne by the French cook Vincent La Chapelle, published as long ago as 1742. Chapelle was one of the most famous Europeans who found themselves cooking for Madame de Pompadour, the infamous mistress of Louis XV. By the way, what did you get up to, like, the teens in Louis or James's or any of these? I feel like it's, all right, maybe we should, you know, move.
Put find a cap on that.
Yeah, I feel like. It took a few years, but the soufflé was eventually taken on by another French chef, Antonio Benavides, in the early 1800s. It was in the book The Art of the Cook, published in 1814, in which Benavides gave descriptions about how exactly to make the delicious dish.
Hmm. I've never made a soufflé.
Hmm.
It seems a little challenging to me.
I'm a little surprised. I imagine there's a lot of things you haven't made, but I don't know why. That surprised me, though.
Okay.
Maybe this is a team building exercise. You, Seth, and I, we try to make a souffle.
Hilarity ensues.
Yes. We have to record that, by the way, too.
Yeah,
if we ever do
should.
That, we have to record
we
that.
We probably should.
National Tooth Fairy Day.
Hey. Mm.
I can remember the first time, or at least the first memory I have of this, is literally my dad leaving a IOU under the under the pillow, and I did not know it was from him or anything like that. So who knows? And if there is, the Tooth Fairy is a very, very busy person.
Oh, yes. Lots of creature teeth are lost.
Was it better to say creature? I don't know. Person, creature, I'm not sure. I'm not sure the
character
PC term for this or not. But
character.
Either way, let's talk about the character. In many cultures around the world, various traditions around the Tooth Fairy are celebrated. The Tooth Fairy herself or himself, as the verdict is still out, has been around since at least the Middle Ages.
Mm.
Although the exact origins are still unknown, in any case, this is certainly an iconic childhood symbol that brings joy and smiles to children around the world. Hmm. I think it's funny that they say smiles.
Well, we're talking
about missing teeth.
Pretty,
that's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, because that's there's two people. There's two types of people that can really get away with the smile with the missing teeth: children and hockey players.
I suppose. It's boxers.
Somehow, still counts. Yeah, mm-hmm. Still somehow charming in any of those settings. Outside of those settings, not as much. Not as much. Children in Europe, Russia, and some parts of Asia, especially China, North America, and other places all have certain traditions that revolve around the idea of a tooth fairy. The tradition is usually goes with it. A child who loses a tooth can leave it under their pillow that night, and this special creature, who fortuitously knows when a child has lost a tooth, nobody's ever explained that one, stealthily exchanges it for a coin or a treat during the night.
The tooth fairy never visited my house.
Huh. Yeah, that was one or two times for me. It was mostly my brother and sister that they did. Mm. But I do think, because I do think of my brother and sister with this. And since we didn't know any of this stuff, one of the things we thought was fun was, well, where? How does the Tooth Fairy figure this stuff out? With Santa, we know that Santa's, got the naughty and nice list.
Right.
I've never heard about any list that the Tooth Fairy has. How does the Tooth Fairy do this? So it came up with all kinds of different ways. And I think this is something fun maybe with parents. I think kids are back in school today, I believe. I'm not sure, but they might be.
I think so.
Either way, we probably are going to have another one of those days where your kids are stuck inside or you all are in the house together or anything. I think family activities are always fun. This is a fun one, I think.
Because it requires imagination.
Yeah, figure out how the Tooth Fairy figures this stuff out.
Yeah, and it can't come from a movie.
No.
Because there's a lot of movies regarding the Tooth Fairy.
That was not the case when we were kids.
No.
That is interesting. As you say that, you're right. Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about that. And just give us a second here. Mel and I got to get a nap in real quick because it's National Public Sleeping Day. All right, so just let her just rest. She's earned this. She deserves the rest. She gets up earlier than any of us. Just let her rest. Oh, I woke her up. Shoot. All right, well, as long as you're awake, Mel.
Okay, here I am.
Feeling
refreshed.
Good. today is a perfect day for National Public Sleeping. National Public Sleeping Day was founded with the purpose of encouraging people to be sure that they get enough sleep. Consider all of the times it's been a delight to see someone else have a bit of a nap in public, whether on a bus or in a waiting room or in a medical office. I've never thought of that as a that's joyful. Like, I feel for those people.
Well, because if they're that exhausted that they're falling asleep in a waiting room or public transit, you just kind of you worry about them a little bit.
Maybe I'm projecting a little bit here, but I feel for anybody who doesn't get a lot of sleep. I feel for that. I empathize with that. Mm-hmm. Babies sleep in public all the time.
Well, yeah.
Of course, they can do that. and perhaps they are onto something. Take time to enjoy this day to the fullest by getting a little bit of sleep in public. I'm not comfortable saying this. I don't know.
Really?
I don't.
Well, I think if you've got somebody with you, like, mm-hmm. say you fall asleep on the subway.
Now we're talking. Yeah,
I mean, I'm all right. What are you going to miss your stop if you don't have somebody watching out for you or you have your stuff stolen?
Yes.
I think perhaps on an airplane, it's okay to fall asleep because it's not like they're going to leave you on there.
Yes.
They're going to make sure you get off when the plane lands.
Sure, yes.
But I don't know. Falling asleep on a park bench doesn't really appeal to me.
No. No, anything in public. You lost me.
Unless you're with someone.
Yes. Then
they're watching out for you.
Glad you said that, because that is a different case. We will take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, and we got some fun. We're going to tell you about the greatest cuisine in
popular?
Most popular cuisine in the world.
I'm curious. I have an idea.
I have that information for you coming up on The Morning Show. Mel and James bringing it to you here on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Got to get it in right before 6.
Oh, yeah.
There's something about this song. I don't know what it is. I just have always loved it.
Really?
And I think a big part of it is the video.
Oh.
Kids of the MTV generation, we tie so much of our music to videos. I notice more and more people I talk to of this age range. And it's not the most like groundbreaking video you'll ever see or anything like that. But it's just, it fits the song so well. And I don't know, it's just something about it. It's one of those songs.
I like it until it gets to this part.
Yeah.
I don't like that end of that phrase.
Yeah.
I like every other part of it.
But that part.
Except this part.
It's so funny.
Okay, there's a lot of this song I don't like, James.
There's quite a few songs I can think of, too, where I like 80% of it.
Mm-hmm.
You ever find a song that you like, but you hate the refrain?
And that's the worst.
That is the worst.
Because it's so multiple times in the song.
Yeah. And you can't dodge that part. You can almost dodge other parts of the song or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Or a very.
Because that's the part that gets stuck in your head.
Yep. I also can't handle a really weak guitar solo. It's almost like, come on, man, just play a sax or something.
Yeah. Why did you try?
Yes, just
let the drums go.
Yes. Just make the song 30 seconds shorter. You don't have to have a musical breakdown. You don't need that. We are going to get into this one. Melissa and James here with you at 7:37 on the clock. Happy last day of February, everybody. A company set out to determine the most popular cuisine in the world. And to do it, they looked at engagement on social media platforms such as TikTok, Instagram, and Reddit worldwide. Then they assessed whether the interactions were positive or negative. And you may find some surprising results.
Okay. Do I get to guess what it is before you tell me?
I was going
to
ask. Yeah.
Should I?
Sure. Go for it.
Yeah. I'm going to say pizza.
Okay. As far as cuisine.
Entirety of a cuisine.
I mean,
that would be Italian.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's a very fair bet. I think I would have leaned towards something like that or Indian food or something like that myself. Now, looking at the list, Korean came out on top and number one.
Really?
Korean cuisine. I think that's very surprising. Huh.
My second guess would have been Asian.
Nice.
But that's, I mean, that would be involved in that.
Right. That'd be under the umbrella.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Number two, Italian. So
hey!
You weren't far off.
One and two, baby.
Yeah. You had a roll today. Mexican came in third, Japanese, mm-hmm. then Indian, Chinese, Thai, Vietnamese, Filipino, and Turkish.
Wow.
Turkish cuisine. I've not had a lot of that. Let's find out more about that. It's unclear if these were the only 10 or if there were more choices beyond these. But either way, these snubs could include Greek or Mediterranean, French, Spanish, Middle Eastern, and of course, American. which is basically, you know, a lot of burgers and southern dishes
food.
And barbecue food and that kind of thing. But hey, nobody does barbecue like America.
That's true.
And we've got a couple of things.
I don't know. Australia
like
might have something to say about
that.
I
have never had barbecue outside of the U.S., so I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just a silly American chanting USA. I found one little spot where I could do that. A USA barbecue.
Nothing wrong with that.
I like. Every one of these, there's a dish or something I like out of pretty much every one of these. And I don't think 10 years ago I could have said that.
Yeah, so that's impressive, James.
It's a little
honestly.
Victory for me right there.
I'm a little impressed.
But I also haven't, like I said, the Turkish, haven't had a lot of that. Haven't had a lot of Vietnamese. So I wouldn't mind trying some more of those things.
Well, it's being in you got to be in a bigger area to try a lot of those foods.
Is there a dish for you? Is there a cuisine that you're a go-to for you?
Thai.
Yeah?
Thai.
Nice.
100%.
I know so many people that love Thai.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those ones where is there a lot of variety with Thai?
Well, there's variety. And for me, there's not a lot of dairy.
Mm.
So I don't have to make a whole lot of you know, alterations to what I'm ordering, which I really like because, I don't know, I have a problem going into a restaurant and trying to order something off the menu when I have to make 6 changes
to what
the entree is. I told my boyfriend this last week and I'm like, I'm so excited. There's something on the menu I can order that I like and I don't have to make any alterations.
Mm.
And that's a win for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to, you know, and granted, I know it's their job. They're okay with that for the most part. But also, I'm sure they're relieved when an order comes back and they can just make it.
Yeah. I find that insightful and empathetic on your part, and an opportunity for the rest of us to be, because the majority of, no, I shouldn't say the majority, so many of us don't have to do that. And I think that there's this idea from a lot of people out there that you know, certain people like doing that or want to be this way or something like that. It's not a matter of choice. It's a matter of this is the body I was given. Mm-hmm. And more opportunities for us to be empathetic towards those things, because that's the kind of thing I don't always recognize. I don't always think of that stuff. My dad, when I was a kid, we'd go to Burger King all the time, and he'd just tell me, Jimmy, always order something off of it, because then they got to make it fresh or whatever. Like, I don't think that's true, but it was one of those things. Like, even that, I felt a little difficult. Oh, no pickles. You felt a little, I can't imagine on that level. I appreciate hearing more of those things, because that's important for the rest of us to kind of learn more about what that's like and seeing what that is. With that being said, I know so many people that like Thai, but there's not really a commonality between them. I bet you that's what it is. Hmm. I bet you all these different people come from all these different walks of life and all that. Mm-hmm. That's the commonality, is that they can't eat certain foods.
Well, and some of the interesting things with, we're talking about these different foods, like Turkish food, I'm trying to look it up and see what it is, but the names of it don't, you know, it's just not descriptive.
Yeah.
It's a Turkish name, which I don't know what it means. That's one of the problems that I sometimes run into ordering off of a menu. Mm. Like, I need to Google. All right, what is such and such item?
Mm-hmm.
Can I eat that?
It's a good idea. That it's not, actually not
gotta
a bad.
Do your research first.
Yeah. Well, certainly for what we were just talking about making sure that you don't eat things you shouldn't, but also just to try maybe you learn some new things.
Like, what is a Turkish starter or metzi? Mukbir.
Mukbir.
It's a zucchini fritter, which sounds awesome to me. I would totally eat that. As long as it didn't have any cheese in it.
Yeah. is there a cuisine that's like a sneaky favorite of yours, or one that you eat more than people might guess, or that you would even guess, wouldn't have even thought of until this conversation, maybe?
Well, more that I want to eat. Like, I cook a lot of Indian food at home because I love curry and I love Indian food. If I could, I'd probably eat more Japanese food. Because I like a lot of their noodle dishes and a lot of the spices they use. I mean, spices as in flavorings, not as in heat.
Yeah.
Because I can do a little bit of heat, but not too much.
I am a sneaky fan of Greek food.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't really surprise me.
Yeah, probably not. it's not that far-fetched for me. It's not. There's just something about it growing up as a kid, especially, you know, getting gyros, like seeing the lamb meat cut off of the stock and all that.
That used to
be my smell.
Favorite.
Ooh, just the bread, the pita bread, all that stuff.
And the tzatziki sauce.
Oh, my God. Yes, just love it.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and I would get a sandwich, and I'd get like two, because they're you know, the regular size. But my dad would order one, thinking that he was eating less. But that one had like 90 jammed into that poor pita. That poor pita bread just hanging on for dear life.
Really,
just,
it's doing the best it can there, but that's why you get a fork with it.
Mm.
When I was a kid, there used to be a gyro place in the mall in La Crosse that my mom would take us to when we were kids. It was such a special treat, but it was so good, and I loved it so much. But Mediterranean food now, really, I can't eat a lot of it because there's so much cheese and there's so much tomato.
Yeah.
So that's a little harder for me to order. But yes, it's amazing.
It's another great idea too to maybe try some of these things if you've never even had Korean, and hey, it's number one cuisine in the world. Maybe I should give it a chance. You know, like you said, Googling, looking into what types of different cuisines there are, and maybe you might find a new favorite dish.
Well, and part of the problem with it in this area, you can't order, you know, Korean food. You can make it at home, but sometimes you have to order spices because you also can't buy the spices to cook for it if you don't have a grocery store that sells them, but you can order them online.
My buddy Brian, who's one of the teachers I work with, he's from the Boston area, and he's lived in the Chicago area for quite some time. Since the day he moved there, like at the first week he was there or whatever, he's discovering all these foods that he liked and everything, and he's enjoying himself, and then he wanted to have a fish dinner or whatever afterwards, mm-hmm. and he ordered it. He has not eaten fish since.
Like, really?
It's just so different to him. It's like, it wasn't bad, it's just the freshness, the difference of being out east and getting fish, and here in Chicago, and it's not that big of a, you know, you wouldn't think it's that huge of a difference.
I don't know, our fish fries are pretty, you know, phenomenal, even in Chicago.
I think it's what you grow up with. I think it's what you're used to and stuff. And
what you like.
I'm like that with certain foods that we went off of at this list I'm thinking of. And I'm like, well, I like it from that particular place. I like over by 115th or whatever, you know, and over by Taylor and Racine or something like that.
There's
certain things like that way they particularly make it is what you like, too.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll have more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Be sure to stick around with us. Mel and I are going to take you to the top of the hour, and then we'll be joined by CBS News, and after that we'll have our Weather Eye Weather Center people with a live and direct update.
Yeah.
Hopefully a little calmer today's weather delivery than the others. We usually save our That Ain't Right stories for later in the show, but this one just had to, I couldn't help myself. I got to get to this one now. We will, after we're done talking with CBS News, we're going to get into that topic that Pam sent over to us.
Oh,
the
good.
Silliest, weirdest laws in the state, and by state, every state has one. We're going to go through each state. And,
those
are
fun.
We don't do it enough.
That are still on the law books.
Oh. It's hilarious.
It's crazy.
I wish we could do it now, but I do want to get to this one. There's been a lot of hysteria over balloons recently and things in the sky and such. And one California city has just voted to ban them, but not the Chinese spy ones. Last week, the Oceanside community of Laguna Beach, California, voted to ban the sale and use of all balloons, including party balloons, in public.
Okay.
Locals say too many balloons are being released or abandoned and are ending up in the ocean and on the beaches where they're being eaten by wildlife and sea animals, which is really bad for them. It can get stuck in their stomach and, you know, kill them.
Yes.
City officials say latex balloons can take decades to break down and Mylar balloons won't break down at all.
Right.
This is only for public spaces. Private residents can still have balloons, but you'll have to bring them into town or order them online because you won't find them in Laguna. The ban starts on January 1st of next year, and violators could face fines up to $500. So, the That Ain't Right part of this to me, and you can play along at home and pick and choose what you find that Ain't Right part is. Maybe you think it is the city banning of this. My issue is more, why are we still making balloons this way?
Right.
Everything has evolved. Everything outside of how we change our tires. You know, we have a flat tire.
And production of plastic.
Yes, yes. But to that, piggyback off of that, we know that we've found different ways around everything else. Mm-hmm. How has somebody not done that with balloons yet, especially considering like not only how popular they are throughout the whole world, but how dangerous they can be? We've known this since we were kids that they could do these things. Mm-hmm. And they knew it long before that even. I don't think that the answer is just get rid of balloons. Because for one, that's lazy. That's not creative at all. I feel like we could do better than that. And I feel like if that's the case, well, let's exhaust all the possibilities before the end of it. Is this a big deal? No. We got a lot more important things on our plate to deal with. But as long as we're talking about it, helium, I don't know. It's been years since we had an issue with that. But I know that it wasn't too long ago that there was a concern about helium and the lack of that. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing to consider, too, about this. But also, there's got to be a better way. And if there is a better way, let's figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just quickly being dismissive of getting rid of these. Now, until we have that way, I don't begrudge places like Laguna doing this. But I also feel it's a little... I'm all for causes, but not when it's about, hey, look at me. I'm doing something for the cause. If you're doing it for those reasons, and I'm not saying they are or not, but I know a little bit about the Laguna Beach area, and I can tell you that if that was the case, this wouldn't be the first time they've done that. Balloons float. balloons fly in the air. Mm-hmm. And you're not exactly going to be able to keep balloons out of your area if they are released in a city right next door or
That's
something
true.
Like that. So there's that factor, too. So mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, all the reasons behind this for the city council, what's in their hearts or minds or anything mm-hmm. like that. But I would say that part of it. Okay. If it's just to look at me, that part would bug me. But
it would. However, by them stepping up and doing this and enacting that ban, they are making a statement that could be picked up by other cities, other municipalities, other counties even, to start putting pressure on the people who produce balloons to do something better. The only way to enact change like that, because the market is going to try to make money.
Yeah.
It's cheap for them to keep doing the same thing that they've been doing without any pushback. They're never going to change if they start getting pushback, if people stop buying balloons, if places are banning the sale of balloons in their area, they're going to start seeing their profits drop off. If the pressure is hard enough and strong enough for them to put money into research and development to make something else, for new producers to step up and say, hey, guess what? We figured out a way we can make containers that are plastic-like out of seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Maybe they can find a new material that is biodegradable that will last for a certain amount of time. They are making advances in those areas. There's just not enough pressure for them to do it quickly. And the only way for that to happen is for people to step up or governments to step in.
Yeah. You really want to make change. You got to affect people's money. And as harsh as that is, as much as I don't like saying it, it's the dang truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start doing that, you're absolutely right, Melissa.
It's the people who have the money that need to be affected by it. Because those of us without money, we're affected every day by the things that we can't do.
Yeah, I heard somebody saying something the other day, and I'm not, you know, a long story short, they are basically trying to stick it to the man, you know, that kind of thing or whatever. And all they were doing was affecting the employees of that business. They weren't really affecting the business. The business was going to be just fine. They were just messing with the employees, the customers who are the clerks or whatever that are making, you know, $7 an hour or whatever like that. Like, you're not hurting them. It's the same argument. If you don't like the gas price and you go in and yell at the clerk, the clerk didn't make the gas price. What are you doing?
Right. Like, it's not their fault. You're getting angry at the wrong people.
You're just whining for the sake of whining. There's a big difference of having something to say and raising your voice and wanting to be heard and just whining. And I am so dang sick of whining in this day and age.
Because like you said earlier, it's the people who are, I'm going to take a stand on this for attention, but not do anything effective, versus people who are quietly trying to make change happen, but not necessarily broadcasting it until they have actually made change.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be curious to see if this does catch on, though.
It would be awesome because they're talking more and more about balloons and their impact on the environment. Look at, and I hate to even say these two words, or three words, gender reveal parties and the ridiculousness that has happened with those. All of the balloons that have been released, all of the fires that have happened, all the people being hurt by these silly trends that are damaging our environment. And it's just for clicks.
Yeah. I would really love there to be an app that can tell you, hey, you're doing this just for clicks. Like,
that's all about you.
Yeah, I don't know if it would stop anybody or anything like that, but at the very least, you know, they would be on there.
Should be like the Magic 8-Ball. That should be the app, and you put your idea in, and it pops up and gives you some kind of you shake your phone.
Magic 8-Balls were fun.
Yeah.
Those were just fun. I don't know many people that didn't find those at least a little fun, but
they're a little entertaining for 5 minutes.
That's what I was going to say. That was the catch. They were like, for 5 minutes, it was just, but then after that, it's kind of like,
well, you get the same answer every, five times. Yeah. I don't even remember how many sides there were.
It's funny to think of toys like that. I mean, they don't really make much like that anymore that has like a 5-minute use and it's done.
They make a lot of apps like that.
True, true. You will now be able to buy Wendy's famous chili in a can.
What?
There are nearly 6,000 Wendy's locations in more than 2,600 cities, including every state. So if you have a craving for Wendy's famous chili, you can probably make that happen. But now there's another way. Wendy's is releasing a single-serve cans of chili in grocery stores nationwide. There's no official release date yet, but word has it that Kroger stores in a few markets are already stocking it. There aren't a lot of details, but most are assuming that it'll be the classic Wendy's recipe, even though the canned chili won't actually be coming from Wendy's. Instead, it's being made by a packaging food producer. For what it's worth, the chili at Wendy's is made from leftover hamburger meat. And on a related note, Red Lobster is launching its first ever line of frozen entrees, which are also headed to grocery stores nationwide. And the options include Cheddar Bay biscuit shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
Well, and I see this trend continuing because restaurants got to do something. I told you, I think last week, about the Wendy's cereal I saw, Frosty's Wendy's cereal I saw in the aisle. So, you know, they're having to get inventive to try to bring in more revenue to stay alive. I think that's okay.
Yeah, especially if it keeps, if it means more employees.
Yep.
Means that they, you know, if they can pay them a better wage by doing these kind of things, that seems to even out to me.
Yeah.
I don't know the popularity of something like that. I've eaten at Wendy's plenty of times. I've never had their chili. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I do know it. I do know that it's popular because they're not doing this if it's not.
No. They're and not I don't throwing they money serve at the wall. It over a baked potato.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But those are two things that I don't tend to order very often, chili or baked potatoes. So I'm the last guy, literally the last guy in the world you could ask that question.
But you could put it over French fries.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Chili on fries, that is pretty good. Yeah. I can think of other things, too, Wendy's does that I could see them doing more of these. And as you say, other fast food restaurants, I don't know. I know that there's a, like TGI Fridays, there's a whole line of frozen stuff that you can buy.
Yeah,
and that kind of thing.
Chi-Chi's has a whole lot of spices and stuff you can get. Taco Bell even, I think, has some stuff on the shelves.
You're right. We're probably going to see more and more of this going forward. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we're going to see a day where it flips. And do you remember when there used to be TGI? And now they're just
in the grocery store.
Yeah, I wonder if that could happen.
I doubt it.
Yeah, probably.
I doubt it.
Take a break. Come back. We'll have not only CBS News, but a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center right here on WFHR.